Our scripture reading this morning will come from the book of 1 Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 1. And we'll be reading the verses 9 through 28. 1 Samuel chapter 1, the verses 9 through 28. And our congregation has been working our way through a series in 1 Samuel here. And this morning we're going to begin reading at verse 9. This is the word of God. Once when they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh, Hannah stood up. Now Eli the priest was sitting on a chair by the doorpost of the Lord's temple. In bitterness of soul, Hannah wept much and prayed to the Lord. And she made a vow, saying, O Lord Almighty, if you will only look upon your servant's misery and remember me, and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life, and no razor will ever be used on his head. As she kept on praying to the Lord, Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was praying in her heart, and her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. Eli thought she was drunk and said to her, How long will you keep on getting drunk? Get rid of your wine. Not so, my lord, Hannah replied. I am a woman who is deeply troubled. I have not been drinking wine or beer. I was pouring out my soul to the Lord. Do not take your servant for a wicked woman. I have been praying here out of my great anguish and grief. Eli answered, Go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant you what you have asked of him. She said, May your servant find favor in your eyes. Then she went her way and ate something, and her face was no longer downcast. Early the next morning, they arose and worshiped before the Lord, and then went back to their home at Ramah. Elkanah lay with Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. So in the course of time, Hannah conceived and gave birth to a son, and she named him Samuel, saying, Because I asked the Lord for him. When the man Elkanah went up with all of his family to offer the annual sacrifice to the Lord and to fulfill his vow, Hannah did not go. She said to her husband, After the boy is weaned, I will take him and present him before the Lord, and he will live there always. Do what seems best to you, Elkanah, her husband told her. Stay here until you have weaned him. Only may the Lord make good his word. So the woman stayed at home and nursed her son until she had weaned him. And after he was weaned, she took the boy with her, young as he was, along with a three-year-old bull, an ephah of flour, and a skin of wine, and brought them to the house of the Lord at Shiloh. When they had slaughtered the bull, they brought the boy to Eli, and she said to him, As surely as you live, my lord, I am the woman who stood here beside you praying to the Lord. I prayed for this child, and the Lord has granted me what I asked of him. So now I give him to the Lord. For his whole life he will be given over to the Lord. And he worshiped the Lord there. Thus the reading of God's word this morning as it comes to us from the book of 1 Samuel. For many people, the person of Hannah in 1 Samuel is a hero. As we look at Hannah, she is a person in our story who goes from deep anguish and pain to happiness and thankfulness for the Lord. The chapter starts out with Hannah in great spiritual and emotional distress. She cannot give birth to a child. Along with that is Elkanah's other wife, Peninnah, who has many, many children, and who invokes her, and who rivals her, and who irritates her, for she has many, and Hannah has none. This drives Hannah to tears, and she goes before the Lord at the temple. She prays to the Lord for a son, and God speaks to her through his high priest Eli, and promises that the Lord will grant her all what she has asked of him. And Hannah gives birth to a son. Many people use this story in such a way to describe how we must respond to the Lord in our particular crises. They look at Hannah as if she is a hero, someone who has gotten it right. If we would only pray to the Lord like Hannah did, if we could only go to the church like Hannah did and seek the counsel of the priest or of the minister as Hannah did, if we could only trust the Lord as Hannah did when she listened to the words of the priest as he spoke to her, if all of those things would fall into place for us, then our lives would turn out good too. The Lord would bless us as he blessed Hannah. Well, of course, you know as well as I do that it doesn't always work that way, does it? Sometimes we go to the Lord for particular things, and the Lord doesn't always grant us what we have asked. For the person who looks at Hannah as if she is the example for what we must do and live by, they may begin to think that something is wrong with them. Why did the Lord bless Hannah and not me? You see, there is much more going on here in 1 Samuel than for us simply to look at Hannah as the example and to pattern our lives after her. There is much more going on here in 1 Samuel chapter 1 than a woman who is barren and asks the Lord and is granted her request. You see, Hannah is certainly a main figure in 1 Samuel chapter 1, but there's someone else behind it, directing and guiding what happens at each and every point. The first such place is verse 6 of chapter 1. And because the Lord had closed her womb. You see, the text is very specific in telling us why Hannah cannot have a child. Yes, Hannah is barren. Yes, she wonders if something's wrong with her. Yes, Penina, the other wife, is invoking more difficulties against her and provoking her and irritating her. But the Lord is the reason why Hannah cannot have a child. God is behind what is happening here, and he is the cause of what is taking place. Hannah knows this. And so where does she go? Verse 10. In bitterness of soul, Hannah wept much and prayed to the Lord. She goes to the Lord and she makes a vow before the Lord. And she trusts that the Lord is going to answer her prayer because she knows that the reason she cannot have a child is because the Lord has closed her womb. And God answers her. He answers her through his high priest, verse 17, Eli, who tells her, "Go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant you what you have asked of him." And Hannah's whole life changes. From one of weeping and sadness, we read at the end of verse 18 that her face is no longer downcast. And sure enough, she and Elkanah go home. And at the end of verse 19, we read that Elkanah lay with Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Why did Hannah have a child? Because the Lord remembered her. Hannah is helpless in this story. Hannah cannot have a child, and she finds herself helpless in Israel. In Israel, it was so important to be able to have a son, to be able to have an heir, to know that you would have a son who would gain your husband's inheritance and continue his line throughout all generations. Hannah has no child. Hannah has no hope. Hannah goes to the Lord. She's powerless to control her situation. And God remembers her, and she gives birth to a son. And notice his name, because I asked the Lord for him. She knows that this son came from the Lord, And as our chapter concludes in that vow she makes in verse 26 and 27, we read that she dedicates her son to the Lord. As surely as you live, so now I give him to the Lord. For his whole life he will be given over to the Lord. You see, God is behind this story at every step. God is the one who causes her to be barren. She goes to God. God sends his answer. God gives her a son. And Samuel will serve the Lord God all of his life. This story is about Hannah, but it's also about the Lord. And because it's about the Lord, there is a whole lot more that is going on here in 1 Samuel 1 than simply a story about a woman who goes to the Lord and the Lord answers her prayer. There's a whole lot more going on than a man who has two wives, who is faithful in worshiping, and how God blesses his family. You see, the reason the book of 1 Samuel begins in this particular way is because what is going on in the history of the nation of Israel? As the book of Judges ends, we have a nation that has no leader. God has sent judge after judge to this nation to deliver them from their enemies. Their enemies, the Philistines and the other rival nations, are continuously harassing the Israelites. Finally, at the end of the book of Judges, the Israelites are fighting one another as they go after the tribe of Benjamin. They are taking up the practices of the Canaanites, the people that they were called to drive out. And finally, the book of Judges ends with that final verse which says, "And everyone did what was right in their own eyes." They have no leader in Israel. And as 1 Samuel chapter 1 begins, we see this story played out in the lives of this family that God has told us about. This is a real family in Israel. This is Elkanah and his two wives. But as we look at the story of Peninnah, we see someone who does not love the Lord. When she goes up to this tabernacle, she is not going up to worship the Lord. She goes to irritate, she goes to provoke, she goes to rival the other wife, Hannah. Peninnah's name means ruby. She is known for her beauty, for her outward appearance. She, on the outside, in the world's eyes, has been blessed with all of the blessings. She has children, multiple children, and Hannah has none. On the outside, Peninnah looks like she's got everything all together. But she doesn't love the Lord. On the outside, the cities of Canaan look like they have everything together. They've got kings. They've got armies. They've got power as they rival the Israelites. And the Israelites are suffering because they are barren and they do not have a king. As Hannah's name means grace, so is Israel God's grace. They are his nation, which has been put in this land by God's grace. And they are being provoked and irritated by the Canaanite nations that surround them. And Hannah cries out in desperation as Israel cries out in desperation. You see, they cannot save themselves. They are helpless as Hannah is helpless. They are trusting in God that he will send a leader, that he will rescue them. And when Hannah gives birth, notice what she names her son. Samuel, saying, "Because I asked the Lord for him." Samuel is Hannah's answer. She has asked the Lord for a son. She has asked the Lord for deliverance from her trouble and her plight. And when Samuel is born, she names him Samuel because I asked the Lord for him. But you see, Hannah even knows that Samuel is going to play a much greater role than simply her son. Look at her prayer in chapter 2, verse 1. My heart rejoices in the Lord. In the Lord my horn is lifted high. My mouth boasts over my enemies, for I delight in your deliverance. She writes of this son that God will send deliverance from her enemies. And this enemy is more than just Penina. For look at verse 10 of her song, of her prayer. It is not by strength that one prevails. Those who oppose the Lord will be shattered. He will thunder against them from heaven. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth. He will give strength to his king and exalt the horn of his anointed. Hannah recognizes that God has a much more important role for her son, Hannah, than simply to be the son that she has longed for. Hannah, in her prayer, acknowledges that this son has a special place in God's plan for her salvation and for the salvation of her people. For as they are barren, so she has been barren. As they have called to him out of their misery and their weeping for his deliverance, so God has granted her relief from her misery and her deliverance. God has given her this son to provide the way for the king of Israel to come. For Samuel, her son, will prepare the way for King David, who is the king after God's own heart, who will complete the conquering of those enemies in the land of Canaan, and who will bring deliverance for God's people. He is the king that will shatter these enemies. He is the king who will bring the thunder against them from heaven and who will judge the ends of the earth. God will empower this king. And as Samuel is born, as she names him, she recognizes that Samuel is the beginning of God's answer, not only for the trouble in her life, but the trouble in the entire life of Israel. Samuel will prepare the way. But what many people leave out about Hannah's story is what takes place in verses 21 through 28. You see, Hannah does something here that is often left out of stories about Hannah. She gives up. She sacrifices her son. Look at verse 21. When the man Elkanah went up with all of his family to offer the annual sacrifice to the Lord and fulfill his vow, Hannah did not go. Elkanah's been a faithful man, hasn't he? In verse 3, we're told, year after year, this man went up from his town to worship and to sacrifice to the Lord Almighty at Shiloh. No one in Israel is going to Shiloh. There are very few. But Elkanah is a faithful man. He goes up to worship year after year. And verse 21 begins that same way. Elkanah is going up with all of his family to offer the annual sacrifice to the Lord and fulfill his vow. And the language that is used describes for us that this is all of his family, Hannah included. But look what it tells us in 22. Hannah did not go. She said to her husband, after the boy is weaned, I will take him and present him before the Lord, and he will live there always. Clearly, Elkanah wants her to go along. But Hannah responds to him and says, after the boy is weaned, I will take him and present him there before the Lord, and he will live there always. And Elkanah responds, do what seems best to you. Now, in many of your translations, it's not going to accurately reflect the Hebrew words that are being used here. Because if you were to translate this literally, it would say, do what is right in your own eyes. The wordplay picks up on the very end of the book of Judges, where each man did what was right in his own eyes. It seems that the author wants us to recognize that perhaps Elkanah is having doubts about his wife's willingness to give up her son. He doesn't agree. He tells her, "Do what is right in your own eyes." He goes on to say, "Stay here until you have weaned him. Only may the Lord make good his word." Now, depending on what translation you have, that last phrase is translated differently. The NIV that I have here says, "The Lord make good his word." The New Revised Standard has, "May the Lord confirm his word." But the King James I like the best, which says, "May the Lord establish his word." In 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1, we are told that in those days the word of the Lord was rare in Israel. There were not many visions. Elkanah recognizes that God is in charge of this story. Elkanah recognizes that Samuel is going to play a very important role. And though he thinks that Hannah should come along with him now, he trusts and he knows that the Lord will establish his word through this person named Samuel. So the woman stayed at home. And she nursed her son until she had weaned him. And after he was weaned, she took the boy with her, along with a 3-year-old bull, an ephah of flour, and a skin of wine, and brought him to the house of the Lord at Shiloh, though he was still young. Why the specific description of all of these things that she brought along? Why the mention of the bull and the flour and the skin of wine? If you go back to Numbers chapter 15, the Israelites are instructed specifically in Numbers 15 what they are to bring for an offering when they dedicate someone to the Lord. In Numbers 15, verse 8, we're told, "When you prepare a young bull as a burnt offering or a sacrifice for a special vow or a fellowship offering to the Lord, bring with the bull a grain of offering, 3/10 of an ephah of flour mixed and a half hin of oil. Also bring half a hin of wine as a drink offering. It will be an offering made by fire, an aroma pleasing to the Lord." You see, Hannah is following the instructions that God has given her specifically. This is how she is to dedicate her son. No doubt anymore as to whether Hannah is thinking about possibly not following through with her vow. She brings her son Samuel with the appropriate offerings, with what she needs to dedicate him to the Lord. And we read in verse 25 that when they had slaughtered the bull, they brought the boy to Eli, and she said to him, "As surely as you live, my Lord, I am the woman who stood here beside you praying to the Lord. I prayed for this child, and the Lord has granted me what I asked of him. So now I give him to the Lord. For his whole life he will be given over to the Lord." When you look at Hannah's vow, notice what new information we're told. In the center of this vow, we're told all information that we already know. We know that Hannah was the woman praying to the Lord. We know that she prayed for this child. We know already that God granted her what she asked of him. But as it begins and as it ends, the new information anticipates what we don't know. "As surely as you live," she tells the high priest, "for his whole life he will be given over to the Lord." As Eli now lives, this son Samuel will someday be the one to succeed Eli and take his place as high priest and judge of the Lord. And together they worshiped the Lord there. You see, Hannah is willing to give up her son. She's willing to sacrifice him for the sake of the kingdom. She follows through and is willing to give up this 3-year-old boy who is the answer to all of her prayers and all of her longings and all of her struggles for all of those years. She gives him up in service to the Lord. As the sacrifice of the bull is made on his behalf and on her behalf, so will she give up this son to serve God and to lead them in worship in this place. You see, Hannah recognizes that Samuel is playing an important role in the history of God's salvation. She recognizes that Samuel is not hers, but the Lord's. She recognizes that Samuel will pave the way for King David. She recognizes that God alone is her salvation, is her deliverance. Without him, she's helpless. At the end of the Old Testament era, the word of the Lord was rare in Israel. For 400 years, through the end of the book of Malachi to the beginning of the New Testament, there was no word of the Lord. One day, Zechariah goes into the temple in the Gospel of Luke. And as he goes into the temple, there is an angel. And the angel tells Zechariah that you will have a son. Your wife, Elizabeth, who is barren, will give birth to a son, and his name will be John. As God begins the kingdom era through Samuel, God will begin the true kingdom era through John. Samuel is the figure that moves the nation of Israel from the judges era, where there is no leadership, to the kingdom era under God's king, David. John is the prophet that will move the nation of Israel from the Old Testament era to the kingdom era under Jesus Christ, the King of Kings. As David was the son after God's own heart, Jesus Christ was God's very own son who would bring about salvation and deliverance to God's people. Hannah is willing to sacrifice everything for the sake of this son, her future, her hope, her promise. She gives it to the Lord for the sake of God's servant. So has God called us to sacrifice as Hannah has sacrificed for his servant, for his plan, for his salvation. In John chapter 10, a rich man comes up to Jesus. And this rich man is like Penina. He has everything that the world would so-called desire. He has money. He has all of the right family connections. He's tried very hard to be a good person. But he asked Jesus, "What must I do to be saved?" And Jesus says, "Go sell all that you have and follow me." And when he walks away from the King of Kings, his face is downcast, for he had much wealth. Jesus tells the disciples, "I tell you the truth. No one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me in the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age. Homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and field, and with them persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. As we look at the story of Hannah, we can find our own life in there, can't we? We meet and know people like Penina all the time. People who seem to have everything together, have all the blessings, but who do not love God. Hannah is helpless. She cannot save herself. Only God can save her. Only God can save you. And the way that God can save you is to love His Son and to be willing to sacrifice and give up whatever it takes in giving your life to Him. Hannah, for many people, looks like a hero. For many, she's a hero because God answers her prayer. She did the right thing. She prayed the right way. She went to the right people. And God blessed her. But Hannah does nothing that can save herself. All that she can do is sacrifice to the Lord the blessings that God has given her because she loves God's mode of salvation. For her, it's Samuel and David. For us, it's Jesus Christ. Amen. Father in heaven, as we see these words in 1 Samuel, we can see ourselves. For Lord, we recognize that we cannot save ourselves, but it is only through your grace and mercy. And as we call out to you as sinners with no hope without you, we recognize that you have sent us a Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who has died on the cross and who has purchased salvation for us. And Father, as we serve Him, we recognize that to follow Him, we must sacrifice and give up. We pray, O God, that as we serve Him, what may give delight to our faces, what may raise our countenance out of our desperation and sin, it is only Jesus Christ and His death and resurrection, the joy of knowing that He has saved us and delivered us, and that in Him there is no sadness but eternal joy. We pray all these things, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.